Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy, and I am back after taking a week and a half off for just birthday, spring break. I'm an old man, you guys. I hit that 5-0, and I'm not talking about the police, I'm talking about my age, my life. I'm 50 years old, and man, I'm so glad I work with young people and teens, because I think that's the only thing that makes me feel not old, because my knees feel old. If you're like me and you hit 50 years old, someone told me a long time ago, they said, just wait, when you turn 50, all your aches and pains go away. Turns out they were lying. So anyways, I'm back here and I got a question from one of the kids in West Virginia. I spoke in West Virginia a couple weeks ago before I went on my trip. And as always, I get lots of questions from the teens there. So this question I picked for today hits home. In fact, when I read it, I was like, oh my gosh, some of these kids, it's as if they read my diary, or we had the same life or a similar life at least. So let me start off with just saying, I never say to kids' names and never say who they are, but when they hear their questions, they know that it was just for them, because they text in these questions while I'm speaking to them. So this question is very short, very simple, but very deep. It says, how do you get close to your dad after he left you? Well, I never met my dad until about 7-8 years ago. And I went looking for him. I got the DNA test, found out I was related to a lot of people. I started reaching out and I found him on Facebook. One thing led to another and we started a relationship that way. But her situation is obviously not the same, it's different. And I just want to start off by saying, even though the disclaimer at the beginning of the podcast says this, I just want to say it myself. What I'm about to say is just ideas and suggestions. I'm not giving therapy. I'm not telling you exactly what like you have to do or what you need to do. I'm just saying these are some thoughts and these are some ideas that I share because they've worked for other people. Now, this may not work for this young lady. However, I know that this can't, well, when I say can't, this suggestion I'm about to give is not going to hurt. It just might, I don't know your dad and I don't know your situation. And obviously there's a lot more to your situation than just this right here. But there's other people out there listening to this that maybe you know someone or you personally have struggled with this, or it's something that you're trying to figure out currently right now. I believe this will be very helpful. So let me get into it. How do you get your dad? How do you get close to your dad after he left you? Challenges when you're in a parent and child relationship, the power dynamic is definitely not equal. Your dad left you. Obviously, I don't know the reasons why he left you or why he left. In fact, it may not have been like him leaving you, even though that literally was what happened. Usually when I talk to parents who have left their kids for different various reasons, it was other reasons that created them to leave. For example, drama with, the other spouse, the other partner, difficulties with financial things. And, they just didn't want the responsibility and they fell apart and they broke under the pressure, addiction, all the sorts of things. I can't recall a time where I had a client or knew of someone in my 20 years experience working in this industry that the person said, hey, I left my son or my daughter, I left them because I didn't want to be their parent. I didn't want them. Usually there's a lot of complex things behind that. So I just want to tell this young girl and anyone listening to this, I think it's safe to assume it's a lot more about the circumstances and a lot more about the whole entire big picture and not so specific to them leaving you, even though that's actually what ended up happening. I just have never seen that being the root cause. Like their kid was so embarrassing to them, or they were so, tired of being their parent that they just left the family or left their kid because they didn't want to be with their kid. Now, taking that in consideration, it's very difficult to have a conversation with someone that has the authority in the situation, meaning the like the parent is the authority figure. The child doesn't have a lot of power in the say of whether dad comes or goes. So it's difficult to have a conversation. Like when I've coached teenagers and talking to their parents about difficult things, if the parent's active in their life, and even if they have fights and arguments and struggles, I can usually get them in the same room and get them to squash their differences and have just a meaningful conversation where they're sharing their thoughts and feelings and opinions without attacking each other, without taking serious offense to what the other person is saying and get defensive. So what has worked for my clients in this type of situation is instead of trying to talk to them, instead of trying to text them, instead of trying to like FaceTime them or Zoom call them, it's best to go old school and write them a heartfelt, sincere letter. Now, this letter needs to be a letter, if you choose to do this, right? It's got to be focused on you telling your parent not how to parent you, not telling them how to, how to run their life. It's simply you telling your parent how you feel about them not being there and about them being gone. Now, in my high school classes and when I teach people and do trainings with businesses and school administrators and teachers and those types of things, because those are usually the people I talk to besides students and parents, of course, it's a type of letter that you don't want to pick a fight. You don't want to come at them. So you want to start off with something that just acknowledges that they're important to you and giving them the benefit of the doubt. I call this connection before concern. I've talked about this in other episodes, but I'm saying this is a specific way to use connection before concern. So what you do is you write a letter, and it may sound something like this. Hey, Dad, this is, I always use Stacy for a name of a girl and Johnny and Danny for names of boys. I don't know why, but let's say this girl's name is Stacy. It'd say something like this. Hey, Dad, this is Stacy. Just wanted to write you because I've been thinking a lot about you and I've been thinking a lot about our relationship. And I just wanted to tell you, you know, where my heart and my mind is at or what's on my heart and my mind. And then you start to share with your dad the connection part. Say something like, you know, I know, Dad, things have been difficult for you. I know that, you know, things have been hard. Basically, try to connect with whatever they got going on in their life that is difficult and struggling, that's been a struggle for them. I want you to acknowledge that, and I want you to share with them that this is something that you've seen, and it's caused you to worry about them. It's caused you to be concerned in some sort of way or cause you to just want to be closer to them so that you could be of help. Or you could just say, hey, no, I've seen you go through all these things and I wish I could do something to help you. Then after you say the connection, because you're connecting with, hey, you have struggles. You're not starting off the letter like, Dad, I just want to let you know I hate you for how bad you hurt me. Obviously, that's not likely going to get the response you want from your parent. So if you start out with the connection part, which is giving them, you know, that acknowledgement that you see what they got going on, then you can also validate saying, you know, I just want to let you know that, you know, you mean the world to me, or I really do, you know, I do think about you a lot. I miss you. Just confess, you know, how much love you have for your parent, even if you don't have a lot of love at the moment for them because you're hurt by them and you're angry by them. You've probably heard this before if you're older teen, but if not, I'll just explain it to you. When you don't necessarily have someone giving you what you want to them, if you have someone not giving you what you want, telling them that, hey, like, I don't think you're doing this on purpose. I don't think it's personal. It's calling giving the person the benefit of the doubt. I would say something like, again, I don't know this girl's situation, know anyone's situation listening to this, so I'm trying to be vague to help it be more broader for a lot of people's scenarios, but also specific enough so you know what to do. So you should validate them, say, hey, listen, I know that, you know, whatever caused you to leave, whatever happened between you and mom or the situation, I know that, you know, it wasn't personal towards me, or I know that you, I know it must be hard on you. and I know this must be difficult for, for you to not to be around me as well. Make that bold benefit of the, give them the benefit of the doubt. Make something, again, I don't know your situation, but make something that's close to that as possible. Because whenever a parent gets a letter from a child, especially when the parent has made some bad decisions or has a lot of regret from their past decisions or is currently, not in the child's life, I guarantee you, to this girl listening to this, your dad does not love you. Your dad is struggling in things that affect you, but aren't necessarily because of you. So if you start with that, you give that connection, you give them the benefit of the doubt, you tell them that you don't think it's personal, then after you state those things in the letter, then you get to the concern. And the concern could be, the reason why I'm writing you this letter too is that I've been hurt by not being able to see you. I know you didn't do it on purpose, but like it's been really challenging for me. It's difficult for me. It's causing me to have self-doubt, insecurities, whatever your situation may be. And then say, I'm not telling you these things to hurt your feelings. I'm not telling you these things to make you feel bad. I'm telling you these things because I don't want to feel that way. And I want to be closer to you. And then after you kind of say those types of things, then you could just make your ask. And ask is meaning something that you would like. And so then in the letter, tell your parent that you would like that to change. You would like to know of ways, or you would like to figure out ways to see them again, talk to them occasionally, to rebuild that relationship, or to, rekindle the relationship if there's been a lot of time in between that. And that you're not necessarily asking for anything specific. You just want to tell your dad or tell your parent, whoever this person is, you just want to tell them how you feel and what you want. Ask them for the things that you want. Now, from the people I've worked with, the young people I've helped, this version of a letter, it always touches the parent. Yeah, it's hard to hear sometimes, especially a couple times this happened with parents who actually were struggling with alcohol and addictions. And that was a hard letter for their parent to read. But they need to read it. Because holding in your thoughts, feelings, emotions, that's not going to get you closer to what you want. And then blasting your parent and screaming, yelling at them about how bad they've hurt you and stuff like that. Yeah, even though that dump of emotion and adrenaline can feel good at times, you don't want to take that approach, at least not too often. I mean, you can get away with those every now and then, but if you're always angry and yelling or throwing tantrums or really losing your emotions because of the way your parent is treating you, meaning like if you're doing that towards them to let them know that you're angry with them, that usually doesn't get the reaction that people want. But for my clients that have taken this approach, I can't think of a time where it didn't at least make them feel better. And then in some cases, it caused the line of communication to open up. And in other cases, it caused their parent to feel remorse and to apologize to their child and to ask them to if they could be forgiven because they're right. They didn't do it personally to hurt them. And, they miss them and they cry and they just feel like they're not worthy enough to be their parent or they're not a good enough parent for them. I've had parents tell me that I don't talk to my kid because like they'd be better off without me because I don't have my life together. So whatever the situation is, this would be my suggestion to you, young lady, and to anyone out there listening to this. Again, I'm not your therapist, but this is just information that's helped with other people. And these, in my opinion, aren't really necessarily therapy types of things. These are just relationship communication types of things. Therapy is really the diagnosis and treatment of mental health disorders. This girl is not saying she has a mental health disorder. And even if she did, that's irrelevant to what we're talking about right now. She's learning how to communicate her wants, her needs, how to ask for things, but also how to navigate the realm of that. You're probably going to be talking to a parent who could be hypersensitive and easily angered if you come at them in a wrong way or come at them sideways and make them feel like you're attacking them. So that's my suggestion for today's question. And I'll be doing a couple extra questions throughout the next few weeks just to get caught up since I'm, took a week off. But you guys, thank you as always for coming here to listen to us or listen to me. And when I have my guys with me, but we've all been so busy, it's why I haven't had any of the guys with me lately. But don't worry, we're still a team. OG Therapy, they do more speaking engagements and stuff like that with me right now. But yeah, you guys just remember when life's got you down on your knees and you're just going, oh my gosh, please, can I get a break? Just remember, you can come, press play, and listen to your OGs. Until next time, Be cool.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.